Bonjour.
Welcome to a new episode of So French, a podcast about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights to all things French.
Every 2 weeks, we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from our studio in the heart of Paris. My name is Stéphane de Vries.
And my name is Sarah Bertilsson. This week, we'll tell you about how the French government is spending 500 million euros trying to save the country's historic train building plant. An act of responsible politics or calculated state-financed campaigning? Well, you decide.
And we are also going for a camping holiday. We're going to Paris's only camping site and we talk to those who live there.
But first, we've saved Belfort. This was the tweet by France's Prime Minister Manuel Valls earlier this week following the government's deal with the train building company Alstom, a deal aimed at preventing the company from closing its historic plant in the east of the country. So what is this fantastic deal?
Well, it's first of all, Alstom is one of the historic train builders in France, very old company already. They have 12 factories all over the country, but also in many different countries all around the world. They make the famous TGV, the high-speed train. This plant in the east of the country, in Belfort, was not doing well. They lost a lot of projects the last couple of years, so they needed to be saved. And of course, when a company is doing not very well in France, then the government immediately steps in because 400 jobs were at stake. And now this government found a really creative solution, creative bookkeeping, to keep Alstom alive. What they did, they ordered, so the government ordered 15 new trains, TGVs, so high-speed trains. The deal is worth approximately 500 million euros, but some sources also talk about 750 million euros. So the government bought 15 TGVs. Well, it sounds interesting. They could come in handy because this country has a lot of high-speed lines. But no, these trains are going to be used for the slow-speed regional lines, especially for the line Bordeaux-Marseille and Montpellier-Perpignan in the south of the country. So they are going to use trains that can drive 350 kilometers an hour on lines that are not even capable of 200 kilometers an hour. So it's basically very strange.
But isn't it the whole thing as well? Since when do states buy trains? This is my question. I don't know. Where do they put them? I
mean, well, we're in France, Sarah. The state does a lot of things in this country that are really
strange. I just found it
strange.
Amazing. Because they in this deal, there is also the SNCF, which is the state-owned railway company, which also has, you know, a couple of trains that they will buy.
Yeah.
So, but this is state-owned trains. I'm just wondering, they're going to park them at the Élysée? What are they going to do with these trains? Because apparently, as you say, they can't be used.
No, they can't be used on the TGV trains. And it's even more strange because in 2019, all the train transport in Europe has to be open for competition. Now there's just a monopolist. It's SNCF, the French Railways. But in 2019, there will be foreign operators, probably wanting to start here in France. If they want to operate one of those lines I just mentioned, so Bordeaux-Marseille, they will probably force to use these trains, which is, of course, contrary to open competition. It's just the way of the government showing the electorate, look, we're saving jobs, we're saving jobs. And that's the only message. The fact that you and me just bought 15 useless TGVs, because finally it's a taxpayer who of course buys these trains, it doesn't really matter. They saved 400 jobs. That's the message. But it's really weird I did the calculation. If they just fired these 400 people this morning and they would pay their salaries till the end of their lives and even a bonus, then it would be cheaper than what they decided today. So it shows that the government should not be an entrepreneur. The government should just run the country. But unfortunately, here in France, running the country, well, the politicians think that they should buy trains. So do you think, Sarah, that Alstom is saved or?
But the problem is, or the thing is, that Alstom is not in any difficulty. This is a company that's doing pretty well around the world. They have received more or less an exploding amount of orders over the last couple of years.
Because they also make tramways, metro lines, and all the big cities in the world, they're investing heavily. And
absolutely, and they've had big deals coming in from both India and the US over the last couple of years.
So Alstom is doing pretty well. Why aren't they building all their trains here in France?
Well, it's the question of competition. And of course, these countries ordering these major deals and investing some big amounts of money, they want their workers to have work too. So they say that, well, okay, we're going to buy these trains, but we want you to produce them locally, which is fair enough because that is what France is doing in other in return. So, well, and then you know, the whole comes down to the competition between different countries and the work cost of workers and working conditions. And
Yeah, so it's just basically a campaigning stunt, and it may well be that since
a very, very expensive campaign,
but since François Hollande will probably not be re-elected, it will probably be his only legacy he will leave. 15 useless TGVs. If you want to buy them, just send us an email at info@sofrench.news. Well, Sarah, we're going on a holiday now. Have you ever gone camping?
My parents did take me camping when I was young. I only have very rainy, rainy, wet memories from that.
Okay, so. Well, now you can take your own kids to camping in Paris because that's where Maud Descamps went this week.
Only a few minutes away from the Eiffel Tower, between the Seine River and the Bois de Boulogne, the largest public park in Paris, Belinda and Richard are packing the tent. After 3 nights on the campsite, it is now time to fly back to Australia. Very happy of their unconventional vacation.
We like camping and we wouldn't go to a hotel anyway.
Okay, because Australians are like world champion for camping, so
yes, that's right. So it's what we enjoy to do. We like to be outdoors. It's very handy to get the bus out the front to take us to the train station, and we just go around by public transport while we're here.
For €30 per night, when the average price for a room in the city centre is around €80, Richard and Belinda have enjoyed this beautiful open-door site, tasting every morning fresh croissant from the camping grocery shop or homemade pizza from the food truck while enjoying the view.
As you look out through the trees, you can see the Eiffel Tower from the caravan park. And it all lights up over night time. It looks absolutely fabulous.
So it's even better than getting a room with the view.
Yes, yeah, we've got a room with the view.
It was the second time Richard and Belinda stayed at the Indigo campsite. The couple is already planning to come back next year.
Enjoy your last day in Paris.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay.
And then we go to the tweet of the week. Of course, we are on Twitter as well, @SoFrenchNews. Don't forget to follow us. But we've also been reading Twitter quite a lot this week. And what did we see there this week, Sarah?
Well, there was one thing that made quite a lot of headlines. It's a tweet that came out earlier this week by Nicolas Dupont-Aignan, the leader of one of France's far-right conservative parties called Debout la France.
Debout la France, sort of souverainists. Yes.
Stand on your feet, France, or something like that. To really translate it. Anyways, he was giving an interview over the weekend to one of the radio stations in the south. They were talking about the migrant situation in Europe and the crisis in Syria in particular.
Okay, so Dupont-Aignan was saying that the countries in the neighborhood of Syria don't do anything.
And he even tweeted during this radio interview. He tweeted, I would like someone to explain to me why Syria's neighboring countries don't welcome any migrants. This was the tweet. And so there are so many wrongs. And of course, there was an immediate reaction from the Twitter sphere because there's so many wrongs to this tweet. To begin with, they were taking millions. 600,000 migrants in Jordan, 2.5 million refugees in Turkey, and 1 million in Lebanon.
Yeah, 1 million in Lebanon, which usually has a population of 4 million. And let's compare this to France. Last year, 3,500 Syrians got asylum
to
here
be
on, in France.
I mean, to be fair, Dupont-Aignan, he had the right to defend himself. And what he did say, he said, well, actually, he didn't mean those neighboring countries. He meant Qatar and Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
But Stefan, where is Saudi Arabia and Qatar in comparison to Syria?
Well, it's like saying that the United States would be a neighboring country of France or something like that, you know. So,
well, actually, Greece is closer to Syria than what Qatar is. You know, even his defense was pretty badly thought through.
Yeah.
But of course, Nicolas Dupont-Aignan, he's not giving up. He's saying that he's the victim of a media frenzy and he's... And of mean journalists going only after him. And he's only doing his job and telling the truth.
Yeah, well, we have so much influence. Mean journalists that we are. But he's really wrong. The neighboring countries of Syria are doing a lot. And Europe is, lagging behind.
And finally, I think that no one has possibly missed this major, major news story coming out of Paris this week.
Is there finally a cure for cancer? Did we find a solution for Middle East?
This is so much more important.
More important? The poverty is gone? We found something for that?
We start with breaking news this morning. Kim Kardashian robbed at gunpoint in Paris late last night.
Un incroyable braquage en plein Paris. La star américaine de télé-réalité Kim Kardashian a été victime d'un...
Gagged. Bound.
You know what? And Kim Kardashian, American TV reality star, being robbed at gunpoint right in the heart of the city... at a luxury hotel here in Paris during Fashion Week.
Poor girl. So what happened? How much did she lose? And who is Kim Kardashian anyway?
We're too old for this. We're not quite sure who she is, but we know that she's famous and she's very rich. And she had jewelry for about 10 million euros that she lost during this robbery. Of course, it's a horrible situation for anyone being robbed. That is really not an issue here. But, you know, it had some kind of interesting effects. The mayor of Paris actually had to give out a statement.
Yeah. And what did she say?
Well, she had to give out a statement. Well, first of all, saying that she's sorry for Kim Kardashian. But then secondly, saying that, you know, Paris is a safe city. She's very welcome to come back to Paris. And no one should be worried that they will be robbed at gunpoint when they come to Paris. And, you know, the reason for this is, of course, you know, you had the terrorist attacks in Paris. And only the day before this robbery, Paris launched a major campaign to become the host of the Olympic Games in 2024. So there are a lot of things at stake. You know, Paris and France in general very much suffering from a lack of tourists after the terrorist attacks in 2015. And trying to relaunch this. And, you know, Kim Kardashian, she's got 130 million Twitter and Instagram followers.
So she's very influential.
Well, potential tourists to Paris, I would say, all of these 130 million followers.
Sure. So it was immediately used also by politicians.
Yes.
To show how bad the security is being managed by...
It was only hours after the whole thing came out that we had one of the right-wing candidates to the presidential elections who actually used Kim Kardashian in a way of, you know, saying that the security is not enough in Paris and the authorities are not doing enough to protect the citizens and the tourists.
Yeah, and there were also some left-wing politicians who talked about the fact that it was good that, that this was redistribution of wealth. They were basically mocking her. It was a very interesting story because I think it tells a lot about the state of our society. When she went back to... the United States immediately, almost after the robbery. And there she was received like a head of state. Voila, Kim Kardashian for president. Well, that wraps up this episode of So French. Follow us on Twitter at So French News. And if you have any questions or suggestions, or if somebody proposes you to buy Kim Kardashian's jewels, then send us an email. Our address is sofrench@sofrench.news.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or in SoundCloud. And you can also find us on the TuneIn radio application. And please share the podcast with your friends. We will be back in 2 weeks with a new episode. We hope you will join us then. And until then, au revoir.